I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the book of 1 Peter. I'm preaching in the series about how to have our minds renewed. And this is the seventh message that I'm sharing in this series. But also, this particular message will have messages attached to it. Probably not tonight, but probably for the next few weeks, you will be hearing about what I'm going to share with you today about having your mind renewed. The Bible tells us to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, then be renewed in your mind. Now, we've given several things that it requires to have your mind renewed. And what I want to talk about today is this point. And hear it. Because you must know this if you're going to walk in victory and overcoming and have your mind renewed. You must know this point. And the point is this. You must understand Satan's limitations. You must understand Satan's limitations. Jesus talking about the wise people that count the cost before they go build a temple or a house. He said, you're going to count the cost. And he says that after that, he says, before you go to war, he says, you look at your enemies and you find your enemy's limitations. If you can't whip that enemy, he says, you better make peace with that enemy. Is that what he said? Now, he did not give us an enemy that we could not whip. I want you to know right off the bat that you have all authority and all power over all the power of the devil. And he did not give us an enemy that we've got to be afraid of or frightened of or run from. We have an enemy that we can push out of our lives, give him no place in our place, and totally overcome him. And we got to understand our positions in God and thus equally the devil's limitations. I want to read here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Then we're going to look at the book of James chapter 4. We're going to turn to Isaiah 53. We're going to look at Luke 10, and we're going to go home. But you'll go home knowing that you have power and authority over the devil. And I need some, Lance, if you and Steve will, get my board, please, and set it up right over there in front of that screen. It'll be fine, and just some place where everybody can see it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He says, be of sober spirit or sober mind. The word sober there means to abstain from all wine. In other words, don't get drunk on the things of the world. Don't get numbed in your alertness. Be vigilant. King James Bible says, the NASV says, be on the alert. That means be constantly looking around and being ready. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion. Now, if you can picture the pictures that you have seen of the devil, of a lion, that's what you're trying to see there of the devil. And as the enemy, as the devil, as the lion prowls around, you see him sleeking low and his shoulder blades popping up on either side as he sleeks along in the bushes, downwind from his unsuspecting prey. And at an appropriate time, when there is an open door, he launches his attack and he attacks and devours. And that word devour means to gobble up, swallow down wholly. He attacks and he devours that prey. And what Peter is saying here is that's the picture of what the devil will do to you or do to me. Even though we're Christians, even though we have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, you be sober. Don't be numbed by the things of the world. You be vigilant. You be on the alert all the time, looking in the bushes, always looking downwind, always looking at your weak spots, at your places where you're not suspecting an attack, because your enemy, whose enemy? Our enemy is not God's enemy. God has already defeated the devil. In fact, God made him. And any time, any moment, he could squish him. But his purposes are not yet completed. And he says, your enemy, your adversary, the devil, prowls about looking for someone to gobble up. And you've heard it said that he's a gumless bully. You don't know him then. Guy has got teeth, doesn't he, Mike? And he can eat you up. But what I'm telling you is if you'll do what he says, you'll be sober, don't get numbed by the things of the world, be vigilant, always looking, knowing that he's coming. How many of you really not think that he might come at you? He might. I'm not saying he will, but he might come at you. Mike does. Okay, about four of you. Well, rest of you got a surprise coming. Because your adversary, the devil, sneaks about like a roaring lion. But he says, what's verse 9 says? What does it say? But resist him. We do not have an enemy that we cannot resist. And he goes on to say, don't think it like a strange thing because people, Christians, brothers in the world are going through the same thing that you're going through and they're overcoming it. He says, resist him. Resist him. The word resist means stand against him. Stand firm. We all know what Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and 11 and 12 and on through there talks about. It says, be strong in the Lord and what? The power of His might. Putting on the full armor or the whole armor of God so that you can what? Stand against what? The schemes or the wiles of the devil. Now listen, you've got to understand as I've got to understand, the devil has a plan, a scheme to destroy me. What Ephesians 6:11 says. You can look at it later. Ephesians 6:11 says that there are schemes that the devil has to destroy you. And that's why you're putting on the armor of God so that you can stand or that you can resist him. But he has given us the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but what are they? Mighty through God. We have not been given an enemy that we cannot defeat. What we've got is an enemy that we won't defeat. Me and Terry agree, don't we, Terry? We have an enemy. We have an enemy. And there's only one thing that's going to defeat him. Only one thing. Hear me. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It is through the church of Jesus Christ that enemy will be defeated. And if you're in that church, I promise you, you've got the power and the weaponry and all that is required. Your weapons are not carnal. You don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but you wrestle with principalities and powers and you rule with ruler spirits. That's what you wrestle with in your life. That's what you wrestle with in your family. That's what you wrestle with in your finances. That's what you wrestle with in your health. That's what you wrestle with in this earth. That's what you wrestle with. Demonic forces that have schemes and plans to destroy you. But Peter says, but resist him. He is not too big for you. Now look with me in the book of James, chapter 4, reading one verse. James 4, verse 7. I think the church has been deceived by deceiving spirits and doctrines of devils that has got us into a mentality of escape, that has got us into a mentality that the devil is somehow on the level plane with the Lord God and they're slugging this thing out. And basically we see God with a black eye because the church can't overcome it. And the church is going to have to be raptured and escaped. That is not the Bible, people. That is not what the Word of God says. I will build my church upon the revelation that He is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I will build my church. He is the Son of God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is the overcoming entity in this world. It is the salt. It is the light. It is what God has placed here. The first mention of the church in the Bible. He says it's going to destroy hell. My church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against His church. Now, James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit therefore to God and do what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, how many sees immediately some of the problems that we've had in resisting the devil? How many of you would be wise enough and smart enough to admit the fact that there have been times in your life that you have not resisted, that you have not submitted to God and been obedient to His Word, and you have done it your way only to find out that there is a devil waiting to devour you? Okay, that's good. We admit that. Now, Bible says if we submit to God, then resist the devil, then he will flee from us. Right before that, draw nigh to God. Submit to God. Draw nigh to God, I think, was King James Bible says. submit to God. We're talking about the same thing. You're drawing nigh to God. And we want Him to draw near to us, don't we? But the Bible says, you draw near to Him. We draw near to God. We submit to God. Then we resist the devil. And then the Bible says, He will flee. Before we go any further, let's make sure that we have accomplished and really biblically supported this point. If you resist the devil, must he flee? He must flee. He must flee. Because he has no place in your place. He has no authority there. Now, we've established the facts then that we have an enemy. His name is Satan, the devil, the serpent of old, the dragon. That's who he is. We've established the fact that he goes about as a roaring lion with a plan to destroy you. And he's going to try to blindside you. He's going to sneak up downwind from you and attack you. And his plan is to destroy you and your children and your family and anything that's righteous. But we have established the fact that if you stand firm, draw nigh to God, submit to God, resist that sucker, he must flee. Now that's the Bible. We've established those facts. Now, I want to say this. You need to know right now, if you don't know this, that the devil has limits and he has boundaries. God has given him limits and he has given him boundaries. And I don't want to get into it a whole lot, but I think that you know that. Randy Culbertson gave me a teaching tape not very long ago about intercession. And it was a tremendous teaching. And I will share it with this congregation at some point in time. It's just a wonderful word study about the word intercede or intercession. And I want to just comment just briefly about it today. And I want you to be turning to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. God establishes the boundaries. When the nation of Israel come out of Egypt and came into the land, God established the boundaries of, first of all, the nation. He gave the nation its boundaries. Secondly of all, He gave the boundary to each tribe. And then thirdly of all, He gave the boundary to each family. God did that. Now the word used there that I want to kind of look at today, is used in the book of Joshua, and I'm just giving you one of many, in 19 and 22, is the Hebrew word spelled P-A-G-A. Now, I'm not going to get into all that stuff because you're not interested in that and that's not necessary. But what is interpreted here and translated here is reached to or reacheth unto. And I'll just read that particular verse in Joshua 19:22 to you so that I can establish what I'm going to show you in Isaiah 53. It says that the boundary set by God and the border reached to Tabor. And he goes on to say, and their border ended at Jordan. What he did was establish the border of the tribe, the border of the nation, the border of the tribes, and the border of the individual families. And then what the word there used is what we would translate, and what is translated here in Isaiah 53, is intercession. And if you can just hear me what I'm saying, that this word means reach unto, or establish the borders to. In Isaiah 53, looking at verse 12, of course Isaiah 53 is talking here about the Lord Jesus and his experience at Calvary. In verse 12 it says, therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, and he himself bore the sin of many, and this is what I want, and interceded, or set the boundaries, or reached unto, set the boundaries for the transgressors. As God saved you and as God saved me, He set the boundaries. He's given us those boundaries in His Word, and He says that Satan can come this close to you, but that's as close as he can come. Now I want to give you this little illustration. He has set the boundaries for the transgressors. When God saved you, we're still in the process of changing. Bear with us also on the sound system. We're going to get it. I just want to give you a little bit of light. When God set the boundaries, or when He saved you and me, and this is you and me, okay, little green guy. He used green because of life. How many knows He gave you life eternal? green's color of life. But when He saved you and me, He set the boundaries. And I'm using red because I want to kind of show it as the blood of Jesus Christ. He set the boundary around us. Now, what Satan does is walk about prowling as a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And what you do and what I do most times is that not looking, becoming numbed to the things of the world, getting our senses numbed, not being sober, not being on the alert. How many of you have ever drank any alcoholic beverages? That'd be real careful. Drank any alcoholic beverages where you kind of got numbed in your senses and you really weren't that aware of everything that was happening around you. Is there anybody here besides me that would be honest enough to say that I have been at that point in my life at least once? Okay. Well, that's what we're talking about here. And we've gotten numb to the things of the world. And we become numb. We're not alert anymore of this particular area of our life. And so what we do is kind of get weak and open a little slot there. And here comes the prowler. Here comes the devil. And he'll shoot in there. He pounces upon us. Now, that's happened to you. That's happened to me. And it'll happen to every Christian. But what we got to understand the Word of God says is when that happens, resist him. Identify it. Hey, that is the devil. And when the enemy comes in as a flood, raise up a standard against him. Lift up against him the things of God, the weaponry that God has given. For our weapons are not carnal. And when that spirit attack comes, raise up a spiritual weapons against him. God's given us weapons of warfare that will turn him, resist him. You'll stand in your armor. You'll stand in the things of God that you'll clothe yourself with, that you must put on, and he must flee. He must. And then a little bit later, we'll be walking, cruising along again. Again, we may get a little numbed in our senses. And Hebrews 5 talks about it. He says, you are mature that have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Well, sometimes we get like little babies and we're not paying attention to how we're doing and what we're doing. We again make a little weak spot. But 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, resist him. Everybody says 1 Peter 5:9 says resist him. You got to know that. Don't say, oh my God, and just give over to him and let him have his way in your life. Stand therefore. Resist him. Draw nigh unto God. And he says, you raise up a standard, for no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And everything that he devises, you've got a counterattack. Every Scud missile that he shoots at you, I'm telling you, you got a Patriot that won't miss. I'm telling you, it'll knock every one of them down. Yeah, clap your hands. Yes. Every one of them. He don't miss. And the enemy's coming. Night. Fiery darts. Raise up your standard. When you got him on the run, attack. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what I'm trying to show you here. As when Isaiah 53 tells us that now he intercedes for us. What he does, he helps us to war this war. And somebody tell me what Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25 says, that he ever liveth to make intercessions for you. Every time he comes in here, he begins to intercede so that sucker's got to get out of your life. He ever lives. That's what he's still doing. As he did in Isaiah 53, he's still doing today for you and for me. And I tell you the truth, when he comes at you, he has no place in you. Now, that's what I want to show you today. I want you to understand that when we draw nigh to God and resist the devil, that he must flee. And I don't care how he attacks you, if it's in your body, if it's in your finances, if it's in your marriage, if it's in your children, your home, whatever he comes with his attack, there is a weapon that will put him out of business. And that's what we've got to learn. We've got to learn what weapons we've really been given. Now, what I really want to talk about, and begin today, and I'm going to do two, is I want to talk about seven things the devil or Satan, the dragon, the serpent of old, whatever that you see him as, your enemy, your adversary. I want to talk about seven things that the devil cannot do. I want to show you. I want to uncover his limitations to you. I want to show you that every time he comes within this boundary that God has established in your life, that you can push him out of there. According to the Word of God, he's not supposed to be there. He has no authority there. And if you'll use your authority, he must go. He must go. Look with me in the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, Jesus has sent out the disciples. And it's not the apostles, this is the 70. In verse 9, he's told them to go and preach the kingdom of God to them. And he says, heal them. In verse 17, they return. They return with joy. They return rejoicing. Reading verse 17. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. How many of you are a disciple of Jesus Christ? And he has sent you out on a mission to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to somebody someplace. And do you understand what I'm saying now? Demons are subject to you. They come back. Verse 18 says, and he, Jesus, said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. According to the Bible that is now in your lap or the chair beside you or wherever that you might have it, tell me, when did Satan fall from heaven? When the 70 returned or as they were out ministering and teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, this, and this is where I stand on this. I don't go, well, I do and I don't. I'm not going to get into it, but it was not in Isaiah 14. It's in Luke 10. Isaiah 14 talks about Lucifer and him being cast out. In part, that's a prophetic word of what happened here in Luke 10. He says he saw Satan fall when the kingdom of God was preached. He saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven when men went and preached the gospel and changed people's lives. Do you know when he fell in your life and when he fell in my life? When the gospel of the kingdom of God was preached in my life and Jesus Christ really did become Lord. When I really did submit to him, then he lost all power, all authority over me. He lost his place in my life. And now I serve a living Savior and his name is Jesus. Now there was a time, Ephesians 2 tells me, when I worshiped the powers and principalities of darkness. There was a time. And everybody here does. It was in that same place. There was a time when we served the prince of the air. But he saved us, folks. He called us, he chose us, and he saved us. And now we're not sitting there. We're sitting in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. Now, Satan fell when the gospel of the kingdom was preached. And look at verse 13. Behold, I have given you authority. King James Bible says power. This is the Greek word exousia. The only reason I'm really bringing this out is because it also is going to talk about Satan's power. And you need to understand that Satan does have power. He is not a gumless bully. He does have a scheme to destroy you. And if you have a crack in your boundaries, I promise you he will come in every time. Not just some of the times. Every time you give him opportunity, he will come. Behold, I have given you authority or power, exousia, to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The word power there for enemy is the word dunamis. We get our word dynamite. Folks, when the devil comes in to our area, to our arena, when he comes in, it's like dynamite going off in our lives. It's destructive. It blows up everything. He comes in there in your finances, and what happens if he gets in and he uses his power on your finances? Scud missile. Am I right? He comes in your marriage. He gets in there. He's not coming in to make it good. He has a scheme to destroy it. Do you hear me? But we've got the patriarchs, folks. We are, you know, we are patriarchs, aren't we? Hey, that's good, Mark. We are patriarchs. We shoot down. We are what shoots down his missile. He's given us exousia power against his dunamis power. Jesus said, I give you power over his power. I give you authority over his power. And I preached this to you before. And I'm going to use the same illustration again. The little school mom, or the little woman with the police garb on, with a little badge on her shoulder, she walks out in the middle of the road, and here comes an 18-wheeler. How many horsepower, Mike? About 400? Coming barreling down, 18-wheel, 400 horsepower, and she raises up her hand. Now here's this little 100-pound woman stopping this semi-truck. And what you got to see is that semi-truck represents the devil. And he's down on you. But folks, all you got to do is resist him. He's giving us power. Whoa! And what must he do? Turn that sucker around and go! We've got the authority, folks, to stop anything that he comes at us with. Now, that's what the Bible says. And don't rejoice because you got all this power. Rejoice what? Your name's written in heaven. Okay. But that power, not bad, is it? Okay. I want you to see this. Now, the first thing that I want to tell you, the first thing that Satan cannot do, the first thing that Satan cannot do is penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. How many will say amen? He cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Exodus chapter 12. God's ready to bring His nation out. He tells him, He says, I want you to go get a lamb. I want you to kill it. I want you to put blood on the two doorposts and over the lintel. And He says, the destroyer's coming. The death angel's coming. Where that blood is, he cannot enter. But where that blood is not, he can go do whatever he wanted to do. He can go destroy, explode. The blood of Jesus Christ is what kept him out. Now, if a lamb's blood would do that under the old covenant, how much more, folks, does the blood of Jesus Christ do for you and for me? The blood of Jesus Christ, the enemy cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, it says that they overcame him first and foremost by what? The blood of the lamb. They cast down the accuser of the brother and overcame him by the blood of Jesus Christ. You have got to understand, folks, that blood of Jesus Christ must be upon you, must be upon your house, must be upon your children, must be upon your business. Everything that you have must be under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And the only way that it comes under the lordship of Jesus Christ is by confessing Him as Lord and Savior. And that blood is then applied. I believe that regularly, I won't tell you every day, but I believe regularly you need to pray the blood of Jesus Christ upon your body, upon yourself, upon your wife, your husband, your children, your home, your place of business, your workplace. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ needs to be proclaimed. It needs to be very obvious that you have washed away the effects of the devil, first and foremost by the blood of Jesus Christ, understanding that the enemy cannot penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. I see three types of houses. Blood was applied to the house. First of all, I'm a house. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. This is the house that my spirit really lives in. This body. I need that blood applied to this house. Secondly of all, I have a household. I have a wife. I have children. I have a household. Now, biblical households are bigger than what we think households would be. See, we think my household, the young family, would be right here. This would be what was it. And in one sense it is. But in biblical aspects, everybody that had the name of Young is in my household. I want to expand that. In the New Testament, in the New Testament, everybody that takes on the name of Christian is in my household. Okay, and that gives you the second kind of a third kind of house is the house of God. How many knows that we are the house of God? We need the blood of God applied to us. And if that's in truth, then when he comes against my house, when he comes against this house, my individual house, he comes against my home, or the Youngs, or when he comes against this church, folks, I tell you, we've got authority to stand against him. Now look, when he comes in, I then have the right because of my borders that God has given me. And when he's teaching us to pray, he says, "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done where? In earth as it is in heaven." Now that word earth means your region, what God has given you authority over. God has given each one of us a realm of authority. My realm of authority, first of all, is my life. I have got to bring the kingdom of God first and foremost to my life. My second realm of authority is my wife. God has given her to me. Does the Bible say that the head of the woman is the man? Yeah. Now, I hope she likes it. Some of you might not like that. But my wife really likes that. She likes my covering. She likes my protection. She knows that I will. I do what I say I'm going to do for her. I protect her. I don't let the enemy get anywhere near her if I can at all possibly keep him from it. Then I got my children. They're in my region. They're in my place of authority. And when I see the enemy attacking them, do I have the right? Do I have the exousia? Do I have the authority to say, whoa! Now, I expand that to this church. I am a pastor and elder in this church. But I'm not the only elder, nor the only pastor in this church. Right? I have authority, but I need to get people to agree with me. I need to get the other elders in agreement with me. So that we can say, whoa! You cannot put that on her. You can't attack her with your stuff. We can put him off. You see what I'm saying? All right? I'm also an elder in this city. But I'm not the only elder in this city. But when elders in this city will finally come to the point of agreement, guess what's going to happen to the principalities and ruler spirits in the air? What unless they do? You resist the devil, he will. And as we start coming together, one by one, and more by more, and many by many, as we start getting agreement and start pushing him out of our borders, interceding one for another, pushing the devil back out of our lives, out of your life, out of this place, out of this city, we'll see the kingdom of God come in our region. I believe it. The first thing I believe that we've got to understand that the devil cannot do is penetrate the blood of Jesus Christ. But you say, Pastor, my goodness, we're all Christians and we've all been attacked by the enemy. How can you say that? We've got the blood of Jesus Christ on us. Bring me to my second point. The devil cannot attack you at his pleasure. The devil cannot attack you at his pleasure. You're not a sitting duck. You're not out there for him just to take pot shots at and to attack you whenever he wants to, whenever he gets an itch. Here's what happens. I just explained it a little bit ago. I'll say it again very biblically. Ephesians 4:27, and you know it, 4:27, and you know it just as well as I do, says, give no place to the devil. What we do is we get numb, we stop being alert, and we open a place, and he'll come in every time. Every time you give him a place, he comes in. Every time. And what we've got to learn to do, stand up, whoa, use our exousia, and he must flee. But he can't hit you just because he wants to. He can't do it. Ask Job. The devil wanted to hit him. Well, no, the devil did. Well, I'm not going to touch it. I'll just get into something I really don't need to deal with right now. But we understand that giving no place or no opportunity to the devil is opening him up a place where he can come into your life. Don't give him a place. The word place in the Greek is topos. And the only reason I'm sure it's saying this, it's like a topographical map. It's the terrain. It shows the places of weaknesses and high places and low places. And he says, don't show him, don't give him your topographical map. Don't give him a place. And as we do that, and it's so interesting, that word. It means a spot, it means occupancy, it means location, and it means a scabbard. What is a scabbard for? Put sword in. Don't give the devil your life to put his sword in. How many of you really believe that he would like to do that? He wants to stick you, and he wants to stick me. He wants to stick this church. He wants to stick this city. Don't give him a place. Don't give him a place to stick. He cannot come at you unless you give him a place. Now, let me use a very simple illustration. Pastor, I have got this cold, and the devil has just come at me, and I really didn't do anything. He just got me. Come to find out, 2 days before that, you were out walking around barefooted out in 20-degree weather outside. Did you give the devil a place? Did he come? Yes. And he will every time. And we could use a lot more illustrations. There's no need. I just wanted to use something very simple and non-complex. But we do stupid stuff with our finances, don't we? We walk around barefooted with our finances. And here comes the devil. You got to pray for my finances. My goodness, I just don't know what's happened. And you just bought a new car. How many is hearing what I'm saying now? All right, our marriages. And we could use anything. The devil has attacked my marriage. And you haven't spoken to her for 2 weeks. There's things, folks, we give place to the enemy. Now, what I'm trying to say and use these things for is that when we see it, when we see that we have done this, don't just blame the devil, folks. Look at your life and see where is the weakness. Where did you give him a place? Where did he get in at? And then once you've resisted him and he has fleed and he's gotten out of there, sure up that spot. Make that place, once he got, make it so he can't come back in there anymore. And every time he comes, resist him, get him out of there, use your authority, your exousia, and stand, therefore. Stand, therefore. Put on your armor. Do what you know to do. And I promise you, we just don't have a little power. He says, I give you all power over all the power of the devil. All the power of the devil. Whatever he comes with at you with, I promise you, you have got something to defeat it with. Our weapons are not carnal. You can defeat the devil. We have been programmed that we can't. He is big. He is bad. He is antichrist or something. He's going to get you and put a 666 on your head. If you really do that, you have just given him a place. Do you see that? I mean, you say, okay, write it on here. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is the church is mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. He said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And if you want your mind renewed, you have to be aware of His power. Be aware of His power, but not afraid of His power. Knowing that no matter what He comes at you with, you have a weapon to defeat Him. How many agree with me today? All right. Closing. Done. Last week, we talked about some of us don't feel the presence of God. Many hands went up. What you need to do, what's probably happened, is there's probably been a place, a crack someplace in your area, and he's gotten in, the enemy's gotten in. You need to see that place. You need to shore up that place, and you need to draw nigh to God. If you draw nigh to God, if you submit yourself to Him, then you'll feel His presence. The enemy, where he's attacking you, will have to flee. And you'll walk in His presence again. Many of us here today have problems in our homes, our marriages. The enemy has found a crack, found a place, and he's slipped in. Many of us today have problems in our bodies. The enemy has come in. Maybe it was something I did or something I inherited or whatever, but he found a place. Somehow he got in. Some of us today are in financial bondages. I could list them. I could just list the things and just talk about, you know where the enemy has struck you at, where he has found a place. What I want to do today, how I want to finish this today, and I want this whole area to be filled up. If you're not coming down for prayer, I want you to come down agreeing with and praying with somebody. I want us to come down here. I want you to get in agreement with somebody and say, the enemy is hitting me here, and I want him to stop. I want to use my exousia power, my authority, and I want him to stop. I want him out of my life. I want him out of my marriage. I want him out of my family. I want him out of my place. I'm not going to give him a place today. This is you. And he's got a crack someplace. And he's hitting you someplace. And he's either hitting you or he has hit you. And you can bear witness with those that will be coming down to need prayer. And we'll be able to minister one to another. And we can stand. We can lift up our standard. And he must flee. Will he have to flee? Will he have to flee? Let's stand up. Father, I truly believe you have given us the word of the Lord. Father, I believe that every person here needs to be ministered to in some capacity. The Father, the enemy is hitting us in our body. He's hitting us in our finances. He's hitting us in our marriage. He's hitting us someplace, Lord. And Father, we want to put our hand up now. We want to resist him. We want to stand. And we want to see him have to turn tail and run. We want him to flee. Father, you've given us weaponry. He cannot come in through the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, right now we want to come down. Proclaim that blood. Proclaim that blood on our marriage. Proclaim that blood on our finances. Proclaim that blood on our body. Proclaim that blood on whatever that it is, Father, our marriage, whatever that it is. The suffering, the attack of the enemy. As he has snuck around, he's proud, and he's found a place to come in. You're under attack. Your body, your finances, your marriage, your children, something. Home, someplace. I want you to come down now and just be ministered to. Come down. I'm telling you, it's time. It's time that the church said, we are the church, and you have no authority here. You have no place here, and we are taking our stand now against you. And the Bible says, devil, you must flee. You must flee. You must leave me. Spread out a little bit so some more can come up. Now, I want others, as we begin to pray, I want you to come down and pray for these people. The Bible says this, if we confess our faults one to another, that He's faithful and just to forgive us our faults and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to find somebody to tell where that enemy is and agree with you and bind him. The church has power to bind, and it says that whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven or the realm of the... And whatever you loose, and we all need...